case of high involvement products, where there are significant differences between brands, the buying behavior is going to be extremely complex. In case of high involvement, but few differences between brands, there will be dissonance, which will be reducing the buying behavior. In case of products that are low on involvement, but have significant differences between the various brands or options available, the customer will have a variety seeking buying behavior. So they would love to look for variety in the products that are available. In case of low involvement products, where the differences between options or brands available is very less, there will be a habitual buying behavior, which means the customer is buying more out of habit because they are used to a certain product or a brand and they are convinced of its quality and performance. Because there are so many different shades of consumer decisions, it's easier to think of these three decision types as points on a continuum, ranging from very high to low involvement with the purchase process. So this shows a continuum of purchase involvement, starting from the lowest, which shows nominal involvement, to high, which is extended decision making, and somewhere in between on the continuum lies the limited decision making process. We will talk about each of these in detail now. First, let us look at the high risk product. What are the various types of risk? There are personal risk, social risk, economic risk. Needless to say, the higher the risk in a product or buying a particular brand of the product, the higher is the customer involvement and motivation. First, let us talk about routine response. This is routine problem solving or programmed behavior. The behavior of the customer is programmed. It is almost as if they are acting in a very mechanical manner, in a manner which is programmed. They're just used to doing the same thing out of habit every time. This involves buying products that are low involvement, that are low cost, and are frequently purchased. Therefore, the customer needs very little decision making, very little research effort. The purchase is almost automatic, which is why we use the term programmed behavior. Customers will go through a few of the steps of the buying process. They will not go through all five steps or stages of the buying process, which we saw in the first few slides. For a routine response behavior or a routine problem solving situation, the customer may not go through the research or the pre-purchase information search at all. They may just skip that stage. It is a fast process, as research and evaluation of alternatives is not required. Customer reaches back in their own long-term memory and makes a repeat purchase. So essentially here, the customer is purchasing based on his experience with a particular brand, product, or even a retail store. Usually we would buy products which are basics and staple using this behavior. For example, grocery, milk, shampoo, some daily products. Okay. Now we go on to the next, which is on the level of involvement. This was in the center of the continuum, which is limited decision making or problem solving. This takes place when the product is one that is bought occasionally. It is not frequently bought. It could be an unfamiliar brand in a familiar product category. Searching externally and reflecting internally are part of limited decision making involvement. So we are actually trying to get more information through external sources and then reflecting on that information internally within our mind, so that we are able to evaluate the options available. This kind of a decision making requires a moderate amount of time for gathering information. Minimal post-purchase evaluation may occur. Here, the step of searching for information before actually buying is not extensive. It may be medium level. A moderate amount of time is used, and the post-purchase evaluation stage also may be very small. It is used in products where the customer knows the product class but not the brand, for example, clothes. The third one, which was at the end of the continuum, which shows high involvement, is extensive decision making or extensive problem solving. This is undertaken for high involvement, expensive, unfamiliar products which are bought infrequently, which are bought rarely or sometimes. These products have a high degree of risk, whether the risk is economic, performance based or psychological. The level or degree of risk is high in this kind of a decision making. This product is usually expensive and holds a deep meaning for the customer. So the customer has some kind of an emotional connect with this product or product category. It means a lot. For example, a car, a home, a computer, a laptop, even mobile phones. Today, youngsters have a lot of attachment to their mobile phones because it reflects on their personality, on their financial status. It is able to create an impression in their peer group. Even education. This could be an area where a lot of research and decision making is required. So if somebody has to pursue a college education, they are going to think, research about it in great deal, talk to many people, talk to experts, check online, and only then make a decision. Customers spend a lot of time seeking information, evaluating alternatives, and will go through all stages of the buying process. So for extensive decision making, the customer goes through all five stages of the decision making. It is a very time consuming process, obviously, as extensive research and evaluation of alternatives is required. Retail purchase decision making. The retail sales team needs to understand and appreciate a few aspects of purchase decision making. The purchase of the same product does not always elicit the same buying behavior. So every time the customer is buying the same product, the buying behavior can be different. A product can shift from one of these categories to the other. So there is no rule to it. There is no rule to consumer purchase decisions. The product can be in an extensive decision making category one day and it could shift to a routine category the other day. Obviously, at one point, this routine or nominal decision making was not so nominal. It was extensive or maybe a limited decision making. And because you have bought that product so many times and you are content with the retail store or the product or the brand, that now you do not go into an extensive decision making every time you have to buy the product. Therefore, it has now been shifted to the category of nominal decision making. Going out for a dinner, for example, maybe extensive decision making process for one person, but for another person it could be a limited decision making. It also depends on the situation. The reason for going to this dinner will also determine the extent of the decision making. If it is somebody who is going out, a bachelor who goes out for dinner every day because he is not cooking, it could be a routine response behavior. But if it is a elaborate reason, let's say an anniversary or a birthday, then there could be an extensive decision making on where to eat and what to order. Let us understand this diagram and thereby also recap the three problem solving situations that we have discussed: decision making process vis-a-vis customer involvement. There are three columns: one, which is routine problem solving; second is limited problem solving; and the third is extensive problem solving. If you see, these are the five stages or steps of the consumer purchase decision making. The first is problem recognition, which is going to be the same for each of these types of situations. The difference will be in the information search. For routine problem solving, information search is limited and is usually internal to the consumer. For limited problem solving, it will be limited to an external, in the external context, and there will be some internal information search as well. In an extensive problem solving situation, there will be a lot of information search, which will be both internal and external. Alternatives evaluation is negligible in a routine problem solving, because this is, you're just so used to it, you're just used to picking up that product, that you walk into a retail store and you know exactly where, which shelf, which corner of the store that product would be kept or displayed, and you immediately go pick it up, get the billing done and come back. For limited problem solving, the alternative evaluation will be moderate. There may be a few alternatives and a few attributes which you are going to think about. What are the attributes along which the evaluation is going to take place? In extensive problem solving, there will be extensive alternative evaluation. There will be many alternatives and there will be many attributes to be considered for each of these alternatives. Then is the purchase stage for all of them. In routine problem solving, the post-purchase would actually be limited. There may not be a lot of post-purchase evaluation and there will definitely be no dissonance, for the simple reason that the product is a small one, it is not high involvement, it may not be expensive. Therefore, if the product does not perform, you don't like it, you can simply dispose it off. In limited problem solving, the post-purchase will be moderate. There may not be any dissonance, but there will be a little bit or limited amount of post-purchase evaluation. In the extensive problem solving, there will be some possibility of dissonance. It could be a lot of dissonance also, depending on the product, the involvement and the risk. And there will be a lot of complex evaluation of the product. Now, in the next section, we are going to talk about various factors that affect consumer purchase decisions. Why do we need to know about these factors? An understanding of the influence of these factors is crucial for the retail sales team, so that they can handle the customer and make the sales an efficient, effective, and pleasant experience for the customer. A consumer does not act in isolation in the purchase decision and is influenced by many people and many factors. The number of people involved in the buying process increases with the level of involvement, the level of risk, and complexity of the buying decision behavior. Take a minute to look through this chart. It talks about the factors influencing consumer behavior. This is the buyer decision-making process. It is affected by a lot of factors. You can see it is extremely complex. There are so many factors. In reality, the buying decision making is this complex and it is affected by so many varied factors. Therefore, an understanding of these factors is crucial to retail success. So the consumer, his lifestyle, his experiences are all important. And based on his lifestyle and the past experiences, the consumer will make a buying decision process. What are these influences? Let's start from this corner. It could be psychological influences, it could be personal influences, social aspects, buyer's responses, these could be cultural influences, they could be environmental influences like economic situation, technological advances, political situation of the country, etc. And it could be the marketing mix, the marketing programs, the objectives, the retail strategies that will affect. So all these various aspects and their sub aspects will affect the decision making process of the consumer. Now we will take each of these in detail and discuss them further. First, we are going to talk about cultural factors. Culture is an extension of our lives. Culture pervades every aspect of our lives. It provides an identity to its members and sets parameters of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Culture influences the buying process at every step. Every individual has a different set of habits, beliefs, principles and values. All these are part of our culture. For certain product categories like food and apparel, culture is even more significant than for other product categories. What we wear is part of our culture, and our society and culture decides the kind of garments we should be wearing. Similarly, the food that we eat is very culture specific. What a person in different parts of India eats will reflect the kind of culture they belong to. Therefore, culture, food is also very culture specific. Each culture of every country decides the kind of food that people are going to have. Therefore, decision making in these categories is hugely dictated by culture. Then we have a term which is subcultures. What does this mean? It is a smaller part of the culture of a country or region. Subcultures are could be religion, age, geographical location, gender, or even status of the customer. The next term or factor within cultural factors is social class, which is an integration of education, occupation, and income levels of the consumer. Social class stratifies the society into different levels. It means it divides the society into different levels based on education, occupation, and income levels, and brings with it expectations of appropriate behavior and consumption. So the social class we belong to kind of dictates how our behavior should be, how our consumption should be, and a lot of other things, aspects of our life. Now we move on to social factors. Obviously, social and cultural factors are closely knit. They are integrated, they go hand in hand. Consumers are social creatures. Consumer behavior is impacted by individual acts as well as wider social changes and impact retailing and marketing decisions. Social factors explain the outside influences on our purchase decisions. What could the social factors be? Let us further classify social factors. It could be various groups that we belong to. It could be the family, which is the smallest or the most basic unit of consumption. It could be opinion leaders. It could be diffusion of an innovation or a new product, social stratification, and culture. So if you see, again, culture is part of social factors, which is why I said they are both closely knit and are interdependent. What are social groups? People form groups to satisfy social needs, mutual protection, and for enhancement of attitudes and perceptions. Social groups are part of our lives. We could be part of many social groups. Each group adheres to certain norms. Advice or support of friends is sought to validate purchases. Every time you buy something, you go show it to your immediate family, to your friends, colleagues, and see what is it that they have to say about your new purchase. You would like to also check about the appropriateness of that purchase. For example, dress code for an occasion. People with higher social needs tend to conform the most to these groups, the social groups, which means people with high social needs tend to adhere to the norms of these groups. Individuals identify with reference groups, and these reference groups or this association can be both negative or positive. Social groups could be of many types. One could be a primary group, which consists of individuals where people interact on a regular basis. Primary groups could be friends, relatives, family members, and co-workers or colleagues. All these influence the buying decisions of consumers because of certain reasons. Let us look at these reasons. They have used the product or brand earlier, so they are aware of how the product performs. They know what the product is all about. They have complete knowledge about the product, its features, and its specifications. Therefore, they are able to influence the buying decision of the customer. Secondary groups, as the name suggests, they're not primary. They are groups where you have an indirect relation with the customer. The interaction level is less, it is not often, and it is more formal. For example, some kind of political parties or a club you could be a member of, or any kind of a religious association. These are secondary groups because the level of interaction is less, and the level of influence on the customer may also be lesser. Within a reference group that influences the consumer buying behavior, there could be several roles. Let us look at these roles. One could be the initiator, the person who suggests buying that product or a service. So the initiator is the one who initiates the idea of the purchase of that product. The next role could be that of an influencer. This is a person whose point of view, whose thoughts or advice will affect the buying decision. Then you have a decision maker. This is the person who actually makes the final decision, the person who will choose which product to buy. In general, it's the consumer, but in some cases, it may be another person also. Okay? And the last is the buyer. He or she is the person who will buy the product. Generally, this will be the final consumer. So let us look at this through an example. For example, there is a housewife who wants to buy, let's say, a mixer grinder. So she is the person who's the initiator and suggests buying either a new mixer grinder for her convenience. The influencer, there could be another person in the family who influences this decision. It could be maybe another female member of the family who pitches in as to what kind or what features or attributes they are looking for in that product. The decision maker could be the lady in question herself, or it could be the man of the house who finally decides the kind of product or brand that they're going to buy. Then finally there could be a buyer. In case a mother is buying a product for the child, then the child could be the influencer, because they could say, okay, this is the kind of product or toy I want. The decision maker could be either of the parents. The buyer, again, would be the parent, because the child cannot pay and doesn't have the money to pay. And the final consumer will be the child. So even though the buyer is the parent, the product is being consumed by the child or used by the child. So we need to know the different terminologies and in what context they are being used. Every family or individual goes through stages with a different buying need in each stage. Now we are talking of different stages of the family life cycle. The first stage is the bachelorhood, where there is a single earning person who has no responsibilities. He or she spends well because they are earning. The choice of product or the shopping basket is very different. It could have more emphasis on gadgets, maybe apparel, lifestyle products, maybe a motorcycle, anything to make their life more convenient. Therefore, if it is a bachelor, it could even be things like prepackaged food or cooked food which is packaged. The next category would be the newly married. They spend sensibly. So even though in this stage the spending was not so sensible, in this category the spending could be more thought about and tend to purchase a new vehicle, a house, household goods, furnishings, etc. Then you could have a family with young children. Purchases products to secure the family as well as his own future. If you see, the shopping basket or the kind of products that they buy has changed. Here, they might be investing more in things like toys or necessities for the child, nursery education, and maybe wants to buy a house for themselves, something to make their lives more comfortable. The next stage could be the empty nest, where the children are either getting married or they're already working and living on their own. So the couple is older and they are probably leading a retired lifestyle. The main product categories here would be medicines, health products, and related products. If you see the shopping basket, the products being bought are changing with the change in the stage of the family. We now move on to personal factors. Personal factors like personality of the customer, his lifestyle, these heavily influence the decision making process. These factors explain why our preferences often change as our situation changes. An understanding of the personality of the target consumer enables the retailer to create personalities for their brands. So the retailer has to make sure that the personality of the brand and personality of the consumer resonate with each other. They are compatible, they complement each other. The two have to be congruent so that the consumer can identify with the product or the brand that is closest to his personality. Lifestyle encompasses the way in which a person or a consumer lives and spends money. This is an excellent indicator of the kind of products he is going to buy. These details enable the retailer to segment the market, to target the customer, to position the product, and tailor the product to the segment. Psychological factors comprise of motivation, perception, learning, beliefs and attitudes of the consumer. Consumer psychology and its components play a major role in decision making. Now let us understand what are the various psychological factors that will impact the consumer's decision making process. First is the perception. How does the consumer perceive different products? What are their ideas? What are their thoughts? Perception can be defined as a process whereby buyers select, organize, and interpret simple stimuli into a meaningful picture of the world. So it is just a picture in the mind of the customer. The next psychological factor is learning. Consumer is not born with knowledge of brands. This information has to be learned over a period of time. It is learned as we buy products and experience them, as we see the performance of products and brands, and that forms our memory or our learning. Main sources of learning could be the family, peer groups, it could be promotional methods, especially for fashion marketers. Consumer attitude is another psychological factor which influences the consumer's buying process.